Glory be to God. I'm just super fired up right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Let's talk about, again, we're continuing our series on our supreme identity. I was listening to some podcasts and do some studying on it and just like, wow, yes, I know they've never been to Word of Life and I've been, you know, but to their podcast, but it's the same Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And when the interviewer, Allie Beth Stuckey, I recommend that podcast, Allie Beth Stuckey, A-L-L-I-E-B-E-T-H Stuckey, S-T-U-C-K-E-Y or Y, I'm not, I think it's E-Y. She was interviewing a young lady, Monique Dusan. Allie Beth Stuckey is white and Monique Dusan is black. And they were talking about critical race theory, CRT, critical race theory, things we're talking about. And near the end, she asked, why has the church been duped? Why? Give me some reasons to why we've fallen for this. The first thing out of her mouth was, we don't understand who we really are, our identity, who we are intrinsically. If that's not the Holy Ghost, I don't know who is. That's exactly what we're teaching on. That's why we named this our supreme identity. Once you forget that, you're in trouble. I'm in trouble. We're in trouble. Once we forget that, we're in trouble. Because you stop thinking spiritually. I've heard this 100 times. Can you move on to something else? No. No, I will not. Because just you've heard it even 100 times don't mean you understand it. Just because you heard it don't mean you get it. So because you heard it don't mean it has been transferred, not the word I want, from your head to your heart. We have a lot of head knowledge. You understand the words that I'm speaking, our supreme identity. But do you understand that? And I guarantee you, believe me, as my brother-in-law says, Trent Duane, trust and believe that you do not get this overnight. Because we've been thinking ethnically first for so many decades. But you're not going to just flip and see yourself no longer after the flesh. That's not going to happen overnight. When Apostle Paul uttered that, you can best believe that there were some years of meditation. Here I henceforth know no man after the flesh. Mm-hmm. We tend to only know ourselves and everybody else after the flesh. You need to first even hear that it's even possible to not know anyone after the flesh and then aspire to even do that. There's millions of real, genuine Christians that don't have no idea. Oh, I'm supposed to flip my script like that and no longer know folks after the flesh so that I can then treat them the way they really ought to be treated. That's what flipping it to knowing no one after the flesh would help you do. It's just you don't see color anymore. You don't see less melanin, more melanin. You just see people. You really begin to see, hey, there is no more Jew or Greek. There's no more male or female. There is no more bond or free. All are one in Christ Jesus. All. That's everybody. And then beyond everybody is everybody. Are one in Christ Jesus. As a whole, we're nowhere near it. And it makes me sad to say that. And what the George Floyd murder proved, that we aren't as close as even we thought we were. I'm talking about the body of Christ. It exposed it. It exposed it. Relationships were revealed that were really built on just fluff and foam of the root beer head. I mean, just really no real substance. And ethnicity, you put that into the equation, plus emotion. We win ziggity boom this summer. Identity politics took over in the church. Groups took over. Guilting white people into feeling bad about being white. That's ridiculous. Preachers preaching. Now, like I said last week, it comes from a great desire to, like, you know what? Enough is enough. I want to do something. Therein lies the problem a little bit. On one hand, it's great. On one hand, I want to do something because the status quo for me as a white Christian just can't continue. Well, I need to do something. But in their zeal to want to do something, they went after secular methods. That's when they got in trouble. The answers is right there in the Word of God. Don't run away from that. But if you're a pastor, is telling you to read Robin DiAngelo's White Fragility. If your pastor is using the phraseology and ideology and words of the ideology of cultural Marxists and critical theorists and all of that, then you're like, well, he's my pastor. He must be right. Telling them to read secular books. And let's be real, unfortunately. How many saints of God are really Berean? Meaning they leave the church house, go home, actually open up the Bible. Now they didn't Berea, the saints of Berea didn't have a CD or tape. You can actually turn on the CD, follow it through, and then follow through on the word and then prove, okay, yep, well, these things are so. We have way more. But very few are like that. The pastor said it must be true. As Phyllis is shaking her head, that's right. Because that's scary. You need to know this. I'm not going to know this for you. You say, well, of course not. Yeah, but listen, though. Listen what I'm saying. If I'm not going to know this for you, and you're not working on knowing it for yourself, then guess what? You're not going to ever know it. Because eventually, once you leave here, you got to put in the work. We're trying to spiritually live off, spiritually speaking, live off of two meals a week. We eat on Sunday, eat on Wednesday, and we don't eat the rest of the week. Some of us don't. No studying, no meditating, no importance of getting the word daily. And then when something like this happens out of the blue, then there we are, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Because we haven't grounded ourselves in the word. We haven't done the big three of Joshua 1 and 8. Speak the word at all times. Meditate the word day and night. And observe to do according to all that is in the word. Obey it, speak it, and meditate it. You do those three, you're going to be prosperous. He said it, and you'll have good success. Part of reading and remembering and meditating is on the fact that our supreme identity is not our ethnicity. Our supreme identity is not tied to the amount of melanin in our skin. More melanin, the darker your skin, less melanin, the lighter the skin. We're not tied to that. The devil went up in there and made that a deal. I didn't even realize that even... might have said, I don't know, that even the word white and black, even the colors, really technically speaking, are not, they're not even in the, oh, none of that's in scripture. Because our colors are based on whether we have more melanin or less, and that's all that it's about. That's it. It's the king of division in his demonic evil ways who went in there and said, let me pick out something. How about less melanin? We're going to pit them against the people with more melanin. And once you buy into that, we're going to put in there why it's that way. Oh, they're smarter, they're dumber, they're stronger, they're this, they're that. And now, after all these years, we got five race hypotheses being as if it's the facts. We got evolution as if it's facts. He is the most subtle beast of the field, and the church is buying it, y'all. The church, the pastors are buying it. I mean, what chance do the sheep have if the shepherd is misleading them? Dude, our white brothers and sisters today, they didn't beat us back then. You can't charge that to them. That's what critical theorists are saying. All white people are bad because of what happened in the past. Is that, justice to charge somebody else with the sin of their forefathers? That's not what the Bible says. The soul that sins shall die. You are responsible for your sin, my black brothers and sisters. That's not justice. It's like I don't want white people charging me with the beating of Reginald Denny. That was way out cold, but I didn't beat Reginald Denny. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church, but that's fine. Let the wheels turn. We need to be mature about our history. Reparations, what is that? How? You didn't, wasn't directly affected by, I may have had a slave in my, somewhere, in, almost in the past, but right now, who are you gonna pay? How are you gonna pay him? How are you gonna figure out who gets what? Is that Christian to live in the past and make somebody pay for you? Is that what, you get stuck like that, you're gonna get angry, you're gonna be angry your whole life. And God gets a ton of glory from an angry Christian who is just not going to forgive nobody. And no, he doesn't. And where is God in all this? Where is his glory? You see that rabbit hole you can start going down if you start thinking ethnically and you forget who you are spiritually? And it can get dark down there too. You can become a whole different person. Angry, bitter, unforgiving. Let's keep our focus on who we really are. Supremely. Supreme again means greatest, ultimate, number one before all else. Superior identity. Before all else, we are spirit beings. Before all else, our number one identity is spirit being. Our greatest identity, our ultimate identity, our superior identity is first spiritual. Identity means conditional character as to who a person is. Who are we really? Are we our skin tone? No. This house called a body is going to drop off and die on the floor somewhere, on a bed or somewhere, in a car. And the real us is going on, if you're saved, to heaven. This is just a shell. We are hung up on shells and paint. That has done so much damage. The five race lie has done so much damage. Rather than seeing sin as sin, when a white person mistreats a black, or black mistreats a white, or what, just for the sake of now, for the colors, we then can change all that, you know. When any color mistreats another ethnicity, if it was good like that, it's all sin at the root. It's not more sinful or less sinful. But if you don't watch it, you get caught up in it in a heartbeat. I mean, really, Black Lives Matter, before we realize I'm with the statement, the declarative English sentence as a statement, it took the Lord to let me know that The Black Lives That Matter depends on who kills the black person and how they're killed. So they're not all Black Lives Matter. We're not talking about all black lives, just those killed by white police. As a Christian, is that supposed to be our mindset? Or is every person made in the image and likeness of God? Every person. I mean, before we know it, we're thinking dangerously, ungodly, unbiblically. If you don't watch it, because those terms morph into something else that is truly not of God. Identity, the state of remaining the same under varying aspects or conditions. That's identity. You are who you are. The state of remaining the same under varying aspects or conditions. You don't change. I am a child of God. And I am one before May 25th and I'm one after May 25th. Mm-hmm. I am a child of God. I am the child of God before May 13th, and I'm a May 11th, when supposedly the first COVID case hit Michigan, and I'm a child of God after May 11th. I am the same under every condition because of who I belong, because of whose I am.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
That's our identity. Mm-hmm. It's not supposed to fluctuate or change. Understanding who you are will keep your mind stable. Because Father God, you got this. It will cause you to lean on Him rather than your own understanding. And that's the problem. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. You know what? When you start thinking ethically, guess what? You're going to be tempted to lean on your own understanding. And it gets you in a lot of trouble. We are supremely spirit beings. We began talking last week about racism, also known as, anybody remember? Ethnicism. I'm gonna force that term. Because racism, there is no such a thing as racism, because there's only one race. But there are many ethnicities. So ethnicism is where there is differences because of human traits and so forth and so on. We went over it last, that's why I went back to this too. Racism, quote, air quotes, is rooted in the lie of what? The five race hypothesis, the five race theory. That's a lie. And the five race theory is rooted in the lie of theory of evolution. That's a lie as well. And the theory of evolution is rooted in the lie that ultimately that there is no God. Lies, 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 ending in the root foundational lie, which is really what I'm trying to get to, that there is no God. At the root of all of these lies, the lie of the five race theory, the lie of the theory of evolution, and racism itself, they're all rooted in the lie of all lies, atheism, the belief that there is no God. What's the biblical term for racism? Please listen, I get this right. Yes.
Favoritism?
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Oh, another name for it is impartiality. That's the biblical term for quote unquote racism or ethnicism. It's rooted in favoritism, to favor or prefer one over another due to their ethnic differences, due to whatever the things are. Racism is not a biblical term. Impartiality and favoritism is really what it is. How did this church deal with that? Well, first of all, James called them out on it. That's what he did. First of all, he called it a sin. Look at James chapter 1 as we're still reviewing. And I thank God, at least I like to believe, that you all don't mind reviews that may take the whole hour again and again. I really believe that the Lord God Almighty, by the power of the Holy Spirit, has trained you all to just, hey, I want to learn this. I know I don't have this. I can't hear it enough. I really believe that he's moved on you all like that. And that's a blessing. Because wisdom is the principal thing, Proverbs says, therefore get wisdom. And get knowledge. But in all you're getting, get understanding. Amen. Look at that smile.
Amen.
That's what this is all about, is understanding. Mm-hmm. That's what this is all about. I'm not up here just teaching just because it's Wednesday and that's what we do at this time. Nope. I'm trying to teach. The Lord is trying to teach us his word so that we can understand his word. Mm-hmm. Then we can apply it, teach it to others, and then defend it. Because I got it now. I got it. The biblical term for racism is impartiality or favoritism. Because that's what's at the root of it. My brothers, verse 1. Show no, James chapter 2, nephew, verse 1. Show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Show no partiality. That is an imperative. That is a command. Show no partiality, children of God, people of God, saints of God. Favoritism, partiality, and any other synonyms that's connected to that word is we're to show no inkling of that as children of God, period. Now that, if we just follow that, that alone would fix all of the problems in the church I'm talking about. Well, in the world too, if they were to follow that. Then he says, if a man wearing gold rings, fine clothing comes into your assembly, poor man in shabby clothes also comes in you. Pay attention to the one wearing the gold. We do. I've seen it. I hate it too. Especially being a pastor. You know, we all get the finer seats, come up front and all that old kind of mess. And all, it's just to be seen. At the funeral, will all the pastors in the house please come to the front. Please, all the pastors. We're asking for all the pastors, please. We're going to just take a moment. Play a little music, please. I didn't move. And then the bishop, who was over the funeral, saw me afterward. And he said, man, why didn't you come up? Why did you disrespect me like that? You hear that, Miss Phyllisie? Why did you disrespect me? Not God, not the Lord Jesus. My not coming up disrespected him. Tell me we don't have problems in the pulpit. But dude, it's not about you. It's about the Lord. I don't want to take places up in the high places like the Pharisee to be seen of men. Therefore, you have your reward. So the good man come in. Hey, sit up here. He's you know, you're the pastor. You're rich. You got gold. Sit this place up. Come on up here. Poor man come in. Sit by my feet. Matter of fact, come a little closer. I can rest my feet on you. Verse 5, listen, my beloved brother, Has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? Has he not done that? Is he not chastising the people of God? Because no, there was impartiality in the church. And I don't care why you're showing impartiality. All of us, I mean partiality. Thank you, help me. I don't care why we show. Everyone is guilty of this sin, red, brown, yellow, black, or white. And you know it and I know it. A nice looking young lady come into the store, you break your neck, holding the door open for her. Another young lady come in that maybe does not appeal to your sense of taste and so forth, you let the door go. Cute little kid come into the store, hold the door, offer him a sucker, whatever it is. Kind of a chubby one, cranky kid come in, you walk right by him, maybe bump him. She said, You know we show impartiality. Guy get out of a nice car, you know, hey, how you doing? Person don't look that great, in our opinion, gets out of a jalopy, you walk right by. We need to check ourselves on that, because every day we're being impartial. We're being partial. Thank you. We're showing favoritism. I got to keep checking myself. I know y'all holy and got your halos and everything, but I got to check mine because the external is powerful and we ought not to let it be. And once the Lord showed me, even the great Samuel, who had a tremendous relationship with the Lord, he was even fooled by externals. Ooh, Eliab, tall, handsome boy, surely this is the next king. Not only did the Lord say, no, he's not, move on. No. Not only did he just say that, no, he's not, move on, but no, he's not, I've rejected him. Because his heart ain't right.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Even the great Samuel was moved by externals. That's scary for me. You can be close to the Lord God and still moved by the external. You better be careful. Because being moved by externals will lead to the sin of favoritism. Oh, and as teachers, we fight it all. We fight it all the time. As teachers. Thank God, one of the many, many, many blessings of Blanchett was working on this right here. Hugging even the ones who don't, in quote unquote, in our eye, or the world's definition of looking nice and shapely, you know, the ones who are more round a little bit, don't have the greatest smell, may not have the greatest hygiene, to hug them up. Hug them. Love them. Be different than the rest of the world who's going to reject them because of their externals. Don't let it not once be named among us as people of God. Not once. If that child can find any solace and peace and comfort and love and hugs, it ought to be amongst a child of God. Another child of God ought to provide it. And you know what? If we don't do it, then they'll never get it. Because you can't rhyme the devil's people. They are hung up on the externals.
Yeah.
Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. And he didn't say show no partiality to those of the household of faith. He just said show none, period. Saint, sinner, no matter what ethnicity, no matter what social distinction or economic distinction, it doesn't make a difference. We are not to be children of God, holding the faith of God, being possessors of eternal life, and showing favoritism toward folks. He said, don't do it as my child. Because I don't do it. What you mean? Because verse 5 says, I've chosen the poor. The ones you're rejecting, I've chosen them. They all belong to me. I'm impartial when it comes to salvation. Because they'll be there from every tongue and tribe and people and nation. Yes, yes. Oh, somebody ought to lift a hand or two. I can't wait to see that group. Miss April, you hung out in Japan. How long were you there?
Last time, just a month.
Just a month. Wow. Just a month. And you saw people worshiping God.
Yes.
That has got to be an incredible sight. Mm. Like someone says, when you go, you don't even have to understand the language or even the culture. It's the spiritual connection when they're worshiping God.
Yeah, I was welcomed as family.
Loved it. And they had never seen you. I mean, you. That's. Ooh, wee. She said she was welcomed as family. Mm-hmm. A black woman from the Detroit area all the way in Japan, and they're being welcomed by the people of God. See, mm-hmm. Location, geography, nothing. Mm-hmm. God don't care about that. Mm-hmm. Am I right, nephew? Mm-hmm. Does he not reach up into the prison and touch folks' lives? My Lord and my God. Amen. He's not hung up on social or economic status. He's not hung up on whether you're bond or free, rich or poor. Whether you come up on the quote-unquote right side of the tracks or the wrong side of the tracks. The right part of town or the wrong part of town. Whether you got all A's or all E's, it makes no difference. Mm-hmm. 5 degrees, no degrees. Mm-hmm. He saves everybody. And you know what? He's commanding us to be like him. Is this unreasonable? No. Come on, saints of God. Is it unreasonable? No. I'm like that. Follow my lead. I put my spirit in you. I gave you my mind. I gave you this attitude. Let it be in you as was also in Christ Jesus. No. He died for everyone. No. Of all ethnicities, meaning. Of every tongue. Every tribe, every people, and every nation. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine billions of people from every tongue, tribe, people, and nation all bowing down, crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Ooh, I can't wait to see it. And we will know fully how stupid we were. Amen. To judge somebody, Miss Palmer, on more melanin or less melanin. How stupid is that? That is not of God. For us to join in to this mess. My Lord and my God. Verse 6, you've dishonored the poor man. When any of us show partiality, when we are so favoritism, we dishonor that person. But ultimately, who do we dishonor? God. Why?
Because there's no favoritism.
Right, that's true, but there's a...
When you see me sinning against God.
I know, but why? Yep, all that's good, but I'm looking for something. Because they're all made in his image and in his likeness. Mm-hmm. That's why when you dishonor any person through favoritism or impartiality, you're dishonoring God because they're made in God's image. That's why murder is next level wrong. It's not about who kills what that makes the life valuable. That's really ridiculous. That's such hypocrisy, it's unbelievable. The hood life killed in the hood doesn't matter as much as one killed by the police. That's ridiculous. Every life has dignity. Every life has worth. Every life has value. Why? Because every life, every person is made in the image and likeness of God. Period. Whether you killed accidentally like my cousin at 16 years old, young lady, girl who was 16 too, learning how to drive. My cousin on his bike. She runs a red light, kills my cousin, 16 years old. We feel sorry for that life. And we should. But the life that's in the hood that just killed, or by any circumstances, they're all the same to God because all are made in his image and in his likeness. whether you killed accidentally or on purpose by this person or by that person under these circumstances or that circumstance. Help us to develop that, Father, that all lives are inherently valuable, have intrinsic worth, and are worthy of being shown dignity and respect. Every life, help us to get that in Jesus' name. Every life. Verse 8, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, what is the royal law according to the scripture? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You're doing well. But if you show favoritism, if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as a breaker of that law, a transgressor. How clear is that? But if you're committing partiality, if you're committing favoritism, I mean, if you show it rather, you're committing sin. How clear is that? I mean, there's no, I wonder what he's talking about. Did it really mean, I'm kind of confused. No, you're committing sin. I don't think we got that. It's April. We say, ain't no big of a deal. Yeah, I didn't even talk about the last 20 minutes, but, come on, man. I mean, you know, other things going on, worse than a little favoritism here and there. I mean, you know, that ain't no big deal to you. But to a holy God, it's a big deal because it is always a big deal when you dishonor a person. Because you're dishonoring me. And I don't like you dishonoring folks who are made in my image. Notice how we got to keep God at the foundation of all this. Right. Not like, oh, that just person, or oh, that person ain't worth you. Or that, right. That's what the world is telling you. We got to throw away people. Mm-hmm. We got disposable people. Not to God. Don't let the world tell you that lie. And no one is disposable. Right. Amen. No one is disposable. Yeah. I love working beside my wife at Star Brothers. Oh my Lord, ooh, some of those children are just really messed up. And as much as they will allow us, me and sis work on them real good. Love them, know them they are loved. Your life has dignity, your life has value, your life has worth. Even though you've been told all of these lies for all of these years. And it's hard for a person to come in and who've been hearing that for 20 years, 15 years, 10 years, you ain't nothing. You ain't worth two dead flies. You know, your mom, your daddy, he ain't worth nothing. You know, you hear all of those things. You hear all of those things. And it's hard to just hear somebody one day come in and just, I understand that. Yeah, but you need some water. Okay. Amen. How many believe that the Lord wanted us to go back over this today?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look at Leviticus 19, please. I mean, time just flies.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. I saw it's ready. It's already been about 40 minutes already. Like it's been about 10. I'm talking about just ministering, not the whole service. Wow. Leviticus 19, verse 15. Yeah, just Leviticus 19, verse 15. 1:5. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Chapter 19, verse 15. Okay. Okay. Oh, by the way, what you're about to read, you see James just didn't come up with that and isolate it. No, James knew the Old Testament too. Look at verse 15. You shall do no injustice in court. Almost the same exact wording. Almost the same exact wording. In verse 1 of James, my brother, show no partiality. Leviticus 19:15. You shall do no injustice. Look at this. In court, is that not where a lot of injustice and partiality is done? Oh my Lord. I know, let me speak again to my critical theorists, social justice warriors. Nothing wrong with the court system. Court systems don't run themselves. I'm trying to tell you that. People run the courts. There's no building or bench or gavel operating by itself, making decisions. There's a human being on that gavel. There's a human being sitting on the bench and making decisions that are can be very partial. They're disobeying God's law. He specifically says, thou shalt do no injustice in the courts. And when a black person, because there are many black judges now, when they do the same, trying to like right wrongs, they're in sin too. That doesn't make it right. No injustice, none in the courts. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, which happens all the time. But still, y'all, see, this is where we get comfortable. We say, well, that ain't me. I ain't in the court. If I was the judge, I would do it right. Yeah, but what about just opening the door, holding the door for the Arab that you can't, don't, not really crazy about the Arab people? How about doing your thing right here in front of God? Mm-hmm. We tend to get comfortable. Well, I ain't in the court. Shoot, I'm good. Why the door closed on the person who don't look too great or smell too nice. When you just broke your neck, open the door for the young lady, my brother, and let it close on the one that don't look too nice. You just show favoritism. When James says, do not show no partiality. So don't get comfortable with the court thing. You should not be partial to the poor. Where was it happening? In the courts. Why? Keep reading. But in righteousness shall you judge your neighbors. Mm-hmm. Look at Job. My Lord. This will be the last one. Goodness. Job chapter 34, verse 14. Job 34. Oh, by the way, this is the spiritual backing for the statement that God's, our next breath is on God. Remember we talked about that? Yeah. In other words, the fact we can take another breath because of God, it's all on Him. Look, here it is. Job chapter 34, verse 14. If he, talking about God, the Lord God, should set his heart to it and gather to himself his spirit and his breath, right? Keep it to himself. All flesh would perish together. Look at that. And man would return to dust. Everything would die. By the way, that's the red, brown, yellow, black, and white. No impartiality there. If you have understanding, hear this. Listen to what I say. Shall one who hates justice govern? Will you condemn him who is righteous and mighty? Who says to a king, worthless one, and to nobles, wicked man? Who shows no partiality to princes? Talking about God. Oh boy. Nor regard the rich more than the poor. For they are all the work of his hands. The rich, the poor, the kings, the pauper. All of them are the works of his hands. I made them all. And if I took my breath from them, all would die. Can you see the impartiality in that? Mm-hmm. There's no favoritism. All would die. Not just black folk, but all would live. Black folk would live and the white folk would die. Or the white would live and the black would die. And then the white and black would live, but all the yellow and the red would die. No. All would die. Because all live because of his breath. This is, we're going to end here. This is who we are to imitate.
Yeah.
God, our Father, if you're born again. He shows no partiality to the princes, nor regards them rich more than the poor. Because I made every last one up. I made them all. Father God, help us, help us, help us, help us to live out this life just like you.
Yeah.
Help us to think, speak, and do just like you. Help us to show no partiality to princes. Help us not to regard the rich more than the poor. Yeah. Help us to understand because they are all the work of your hand. Help us to do no injustice in court or anywhere else.
That's right.
Help us not to be partial to the poor or defer to the great at any time. But help us in righteousness to judge our neighbor. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.